This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's a quick impromptu Europa Vision. Not reacting, I hate that. That's the lame-ass term, I think. It's an episode on what went down. The Battle of Witton Lane and Villa's final home game in the group stages. Joining me to discuss that, we were both at the game as we were in the other first matchup between these two teams, Villa and Legia Warsaw in Warsaw. Mr. Chris Bird, welcome.
Hello, sir. How are your condiments?
I was in the middle, so I didn't really get... They didn't have throws long enough to get in my zone.
Oh, good. Same. I just wondered what was going on, and then all of a sudden I get home and see videos of mayonnaise going everywhere.
Yeah, we need to get some abseiling ropes fitted the end of the hole so we can, like, drop down if we're attacked again.
No, we've got the high ground, David.
Well, yes, we always have like a table of condiments on that side, like the length of that upper hole, so we can just pick and choose our barbecue sauces and chilies and just throw them down.
Yeah, a bit of Nando's sauce with a bit of spice.
Yeah, don't attack people on the high ground. It's a bit of a kind of fool's goal.
Especially if you're going to slip over in the middle of a road.
Yeah, that was a classic one. But no, we'll discuss that and game. Unfortunately, the Legia fans weren't in the stadium, and that did affect the atmosphere of the game. Because also, you're in that situation where, especially if you like the other end of the ground, like the Holt end, where, I mean, I got into the game, I didn't know. I was piecing together what was happening, like, during the game.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any Wi-Fi because it's cut off. You're kind of looking around you for anybody who can get a signal. So people are saying, oh, you know, it looks serious, and obviously the fans don't come in. I mean, I asked you, I said, I was, you know, walking towards the hole, there's a big bang, and then there's all this smoke, and I thought, is that, you know, Legia Warsaw? Because I didn't even know if they're in the ground. And you said, oh, yeah, it was them attacking the stadium, and it wasn't, was it? It was the club putting on a fireworks display.
Yeah, so it looked pretty good, actually.
So we're all kind of piecing this together. On the 30th minute, you know, I've been watching this game, and then I go, hang on a minute, and I looked at, who the fuck's that in goal for Villa?
I think you looked baffled at half-time when I told you it was, did you do realise that's Olsen? Oh.
Well, I worked out it was Olsen on the 30th minute, but I was like, who the fuck was it? I said it took me, because I just assumed it was Martinez. So you just see green shirt. I mean, I was using the new contact lens, I must admit. The revelation at half time was...
Longley's playing at centre-back.
Yeah, it was Longley. I thought it was Torres. I was wondering, who the fuck's number 17? Must be Torres, because he was like tall and he kind of plays like him, doesn't he?
Well, he's very left-footed.
Decent on the ball. So you're kind of piecing together this game as it happens, but yeah, that was just the weird spectre of what is going on. Right, before we get into things, supporting the My Old Man Said podcast through these winter months is NordVPN, and they are offering our listeners a bumper deal where you can get an extra 4 months free on top of huge savings on the personal choice when it comes to VPN of My Old Man Said. If you want to protect your privacy on your devices and while you're browsing, then NordVPN allows you to use it on 6 devices. And
Of course, one of the key attributes of a VPN is it allows users to watch sporting events, TV shows, films, which aren't available in their region by switching their virtual location to a country where you can watch it. Perfect for those 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday or 2 p.m. kickoffs on a Sunday for the untelevised games in the UK. To grab your exclusive discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/moms and you'll receive 4 extra months for free, and there's a no-risk Nord 30-day money-back guarantee as well. You'll find the link in the episode description notes, so check it out. I know the build-up of this game and the situation. And, you know, we had a fan advisory board meeting a week before, and the club knew at that stage there was 1,000 Warsaw fans coming over without tickets. Ben Hatton, the chief operating officer, I said, so what's the public line on this reduction in tickets? And they said, well, we're quite happy to say that it's, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, basically safety and also from their past behaviour. And obviously the Leicester game is a big thing because they were attacking place and stewards in the ground, and, you know, quite severely as
that
well.
Was nasty, I mean, wasn't it, that one?
There was people injured, stewards injured, police injured. They also had an altercation at Alkmaar where they were attacking the police. They were trying to steal their, and they, you know, stole their batons and tear gas. And this was at the start of the game, and they tried to basically attack the gate. You know, they turn up without tickets. They try to get in. So they were trying to get themselves in there. Of course, at the end of the game, a couple of their players were accused of attacking Alkmaar staff. So the police came and confronted them after that, took two of them off the coach. One of the, you know, the presidents have got into an altercation and they're kicked off. And everywhere they fucking go, they cause
chaos,
trouble.
Don't they?
The club, if you look at their statements, absolutely deluded. Oh, all these concerns over restrictions are unfounded. Oh, just fucking go on the fucking YouTube, you pricks.
And history isn't on your
2016 side. Videos of when they went to Madrid. There's just standoff battles. There's Legia Warsaw fans dressed in fucking Legia Warsaw wrestling masks battling the place. Then you got the Leicester videos popping up. They were banned from Zrinjski because of what happened in Alkmaar. And so you're thinking, well, maybe you should have just banned them from the rest of the away group games. But then on the day, you know, there's all these reports and which get parroted by everybody that it's the police's fault for the restriction in tickets. And no, that's bullshit. It's the club, it's UEFA. And obviously the police have concerns, but it's not their call, ultimately. So what it is,
it's more likely to be UEFA's call, isn't it?
Well, UEFA's rule is 5%. So to get round that, this is where you push the police out in front and blame the police. And you say, oh, the police and the SAG, the safety advisory, you know, ground body have basically said, no, it's not safe. Well, it's not safe to have 2,000 fans in a stand that hosts 3,000. I mean, it's kind of bollocks. So same happened with PSG recently in Newcastle. They dropped their allocation and they blamed it on the police. It's the police's decision. So that report came out. And I was like, this is bullshit. And I spoke to the police and they said, yeah, completely inaccurate. And we'll be, addressing that. But you see why they do it. It's to justify the UEFA thing, because they can't say to UEFA, no, they're not coming, because, you know, the rule is 5%. But if you have outside agencies like the police and whatever, you know, the SAG, then obviously you can get away with it. But what it does do, it puts it out there that this is the police's fault. And a lot of their fans have come over to fight the police. It's a holiday for them to do that. And they don't give a fuck about the game. My old man said member actually was in a hotel, came from out of town for the game. And after the game, he was in the hotel bar with Legia Warsaw fans. And they were saying, oh, yeah, we didn't have tickets, but we've come over to fight the police dogs, like joking. You know, they were going good in and one out the cubicles 4x4 doing a shed load of coke. So this is like, you know, it's like the old tear-up culture of the 70s, 80s. You're not really going, the game is like an umbrella for you to have a tear-up under.
It's just a vehicle to go, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but you're in a situation. So, you know, I've spoken to Football Supporters Europe who they have a seat at the table with UEFA, and they basically represent the fans in all these circumstances. And obviously they're, you know, well experienced in terms of Europe football because that's what they deal with. And, you know, they have views on Legia Warsaw, what they are as a club and a fan base. But then, you know, regardless of
the blame game on the restriction. I mean, initially it was meant to be low, and then apparently they then agreed it was going to be the same amount of tickets that Villa were given, 1,700, and allegedly agreed to that. And then, you know, Leisure Warsaw are saying Villa then backtracked, and then it became around 1,000. Now, whatever that situation is, you've got a situation on the day where you've got around, I don't know, we're presuming 1,000 with tickets, 1,000 without. So we'll, for argument's sake, we'll call it 2,000 in Aston, just around the corner from Witten Station. So a lot of them were expecting, and I think maybe the club pigheadedly thought, this is Leisure Warsaw, thought that, well, the police are going to know and the club are going to know. It's probably easier to contain the fans inside the ground, so they'll probably let us in. And that the fans thought, you know, they were going to be let in regardless, because they, you know, they were playing on the basis that, well, they'll let us in because they won't want us, you know, thousands of Poles roaming the streets causing mayhem. So that was the decision on the day. Obviously, you look at it and you think, well, you haven't paid, you're not coming in. And yeah, that's fair enough.
It's the simple way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, Chris Eck would definitely say that.
We'd send them in the lower grounds, wouldn't they?
But they'd have to pay. Yeah, that, I'm surprised they didn't upsell them into the lower grounds. All right,
can
boys.
Can you imagine? Sorry, lads, you got a pretty good, come and have a fight in a pre and a premium Villa Park experience.
Welcome to cutthroat capitalism. It's not exactly what you had under the Warsaw Pact rule, but I know it's a bit of a contrast. But yeah, you want a fucking ticket, we'll get you one for 60 quid or 100 quid to get in the lower grounds or whatever it is. Sorry, the terrace view. Yeah, they missed out on an opportunity there. They had 1,000 potential punters to be upsold into the terrace view. But no, so regardless of what's happened, that's the commercial decision. So you're like, yeah, you haven't paid, fuck off. The safety decision is, and you know, this is what the Fan Europe guy was saying. He said, yeah, you've kind of left like 2,000 or so in the car park without tickets. It's like, that's not a great move. I'm thinking, how does it get to this? But on the night, it's like, is the safer move to let them in the stadium just from a pure safety? I mean, from my point of view, my personal point of view, I've paid £30 and I got the feeling for this game, and I got the feeling all the action was taking place outside the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. The atmosphere in the ground was dreadful, wasn't it?
Part of me is like, let them in, contain them there. If it kicks off, you know, at least we're all getting our money's worth. It's a night to remember. But, you know, there is an argument that they would have been easier contained in the ground. And obviously, there's the football for them to kind of semi-focus on. So it's not as if they're, you know, bored minds. It's the devil's playground. If you're standing in a car park, you're going to start throwing flares and cones and missiles at the police, aren't you? So that's from a neutral point of view. So it is an interesting thing. But also, it's like, how does it escalate to this? Because Villa rang up the club and they spoke to him. They said, why have you got a bad reputation? Why do your fans behave like this? Blah, blah, blah. And Leisure also said, it's because we don't feel welcome.
I actually think that the police actually handled it pretty well, for my money. I thought they dealt with, you know, what they had thrown at them with the main group really well. I think the problem comes, of course, is I think any group, when they're together, is a lot easier to deal with. It's when it all splinters, when it gets... That's when you can get really nasty little incidents. You know, I was walking to the ground past the Aston Tavern and along, it's Aston Hall Road, isn't it, by the old Leisure Centre, and there were little pockets of sort of fives and tens just loitering, and those little groups, that's when you get nasty little fights, because it becomes proper hand to hand. It's not just a big mob throwing things. You can have really nasty fights.
Yeah, I mean, the police put out a statement and you know, said what we saw was 90 minutes of planned violence, and you know, that's the kind of feedback that I've heard from people who've spoken to the Poles. They, you know, some of them obviously came over for a tear up here. One officer said it was the worst he'd seen in 28 years of policing. One of them, one of the officers got hit by a flare, which actually ignited their luminous jacket, which they did get off in time, so there was no problems there. I think one police officer had a problem with inhaling smoke. I think overall there was four injured, including those two.
And then there obviously were a couple of police horses and dogs that were injured as well, weren't they? But for the most part, I think they had a...
Thankfully, nothing serious on the animal front.
Yeah.
Is it 46 arrests at the time of recording?
I think it's more now. Hasn't it gone up to 49? It's gone up to 49 now.
Oh, it's only 49.
Yeah. But their away fans have got that reputation, and it kind of precedes them. So they're going to get heavily policed anyway. You know, they're not going to roll out the welcome wagon for them. It's just not going to happen. It's kind of naive of them to think that, you know, we're the victims in all this. It's like, well, actually, you're not. Especially when the sort of the senior execs of their club take the stance that they have, and they're quite petty about it. It just fuels the fire.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But anyway, on the pitch, let's just wrap that off. I mean, we needed to win ideally by 2 goals to make it business done and dusted, and then you can send out the under-12s against Zrinjski in Mostar.
Yep.
Legia Warsaw, I mean, they're a decent cup team. They won the Polish Cup last season, and they have been a bit of a stickler for us. We haven't found it easy. We haven't swatted them aside at any point in these 180 minutes.
No, and they carried a threat, and they I think the fact that their fans weren't in the ground, the players would have known, clearly they'd see it, but they would have known roughly what was going on. So that would fire them up as well. In the first sort of, I would say, 20 minutes, half an hour, I thought they were the better team.
Yeah, I mean, we took the early lead. Great finish. Diaby.
Yeah.
Good reminder of who he is.
Yeah.
If you put him through, or he's attacking, faced up and attacking the back line, then he's exceptional. I think when he's running alongside, I think shortly after the... He hasn't got the physique, and the defender can just kind of push him aside, can't he?
No.
In a one-on-one, shoulder-to-shoulder.
Yeah, that's kind of where Duran is a little bit more useful.
Well, Watkins is good as well. Watkins is strong in that position as well.
He's got that pace, but upper body strength with it. I think Diaby's very much straight-line speed. But he took his goal very well, and at that point he thought, right, perfect start. Kind of go and put your foot on the gas here and really...
You thought it was going to be an easy night's work, didn't you? You thought, yeah, they've got
no fans.
Well,
not necessarily like an easy night's work, but I did expect
comfortable
us
nights.
To, yeah, comfortable, yeah.
And then you had that feeling that we had in Warsaw.
We were just playing ourselves into trouble. You're like, what the fuck are you doing?
It was Warsaw all over again, wasn't it? It was self-destruction.
It was completely. I mean, fair play to their lad. And he obviously scored 2 goals in the game at their place. It's a cracking finish.
Yeah,
you know, obviously when the ball comes in, but it's when you watch the replay, it kind of gets worse with every watch. And it's not Olsen's fault. There is a lot of people scapegoating Olsen for that, but it's not. He plays it into Kamara. He's got time, takes the pass first time, and he can pick it either out. So I think it's Konza who's further back, or out to the winger. I think it was the Cash. Goes straight to their lad and just whips it in the top corner. Fabulous finish. And at that point, they're like, wow, well, we're banging the game here. And they kind of believed, and Villa were sort of hacking around for form in the first half. They didn't look very clever.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Olsen, I mean, I looked at it a couple of times and I thought, I don't know, it's 30% hospital ball, 50% hospital ball. But then again, you look around, that was his best pass that he could make, really. Yeah. So
unless you go long.
You're told to play a certain way and Kamara was the obvious ball. And you're thinking, well, okay, fair enough, because he's been instructed to play that way. And of all the options, that was the one on. So fair enough. But Kamara, it's not the first time, let's face it, that he's been caught out casually. It was like a no-look pass as well, out to Cash or an attempted one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Luiz generally plays on the half turn. Kamara has a knack. Every now and then he'll play with his back to the play.
Yeah.
And as you know, anybody who's had football coaching knows, you are meant to play on the half turn. Yeah. You receive the ball and spin. Or it means it allows you to be able to look around and scan, as they call it. And it looked like he knew the pass was on. He kind of he'd sort of seen the picture and just switched off or what. I don't know. Or whether he backed himself to just miss hit the pass. But it's a bad error.
Earlier, if that had happened, let's say 6 months ago, you'd be thinking, well, you know, it's part of the learning curve. But now you're thinking, well, it's not. He should...
That's just a bad mistake.
Yeah, I think Martinez would have played the same ball, so I agree.
Probably, yeah.
Playing out the back isn't a walk in the park, is it? There's always that element of the receiver of the ball does have to do something. And as you say, on the half turn, I don't think he has that problem because he sees the picture.
No, and it was high risk, high reward because that's kind of how the goal came, that they were kind of almost playing with like a three-man, like a front three press right on the edge of the box. So it was high gain that if you get through that press, you're straight onto them. And there was a few times where Tielemans, McGinn had space to walk into. Even Konsa sort of stepped into midfield on a few occasions. Yeah. You thought, once you got through that first phase of press, you kind of always felt, well, they're in trouble here. And we certainly did that better in the second half. But it just felt a little bit sort of like we either lacked the tempo or there was a little bit, not aimlessness, I'm not quite sure what word I'm looking for, but sort of lackadaisical.
Lack of intensity.
Approach. Yeah, lack of intensity. And you thought if there was a
crowd
bit more...
didn't help, but the atmosphere was flat as a pancake.
And I think the first goal in that sense probably didn't help it, that you thought, well, we've taken the lead, we're all right here. And then everyone got sort of, I think the players and fans got increasingly frustrated as the half went on because we kind of ran out of ideas a little bit. I never actually thought Legia looked particularly good at the back. I didn't think they were very good at the back in the away game, really. We were wasteful. It's like once you get onto them, they're there to be got at. And that was the frustrating thing for me really through the game, that even when we took the lead, which was a great goal, by the way, we'll come on to that, it always felt like if you go up even just one gear, you can pull them apart.
But they actually hit the bar. They could have gone 2-1 up, and that would have put the proverbial cat amongst the pigeons in terms of the group's shake-up there.
Yeah.
And that kind of came out of nowhere, and perhaps unlucky not to score.
Well, they were a live threat at all times because they kind of picked their moments and they had a go, and they were really aggressive. They were really piling into the ball carrier. You know, they were giving away a hell of a lot of fouls, and some of them were pretty rubbish. I thought the ref didn't handle that particularly well. He was kind of picking and choosing when to book people, but.
And when to play on as well. Jesus,
there's two moments where he should have let
Villa play on.
Yeah, it was one when Zaniolo's through and you think, just play the advantage.
One where he kind of gets in the way and actually it's going well. There's like no need to stop play there.
Yeah, it was just a frustrating evening in general. And I know Villa got the win and the first aim was win the game and well done. You know, they kind of managed the game very well in the last sort of
Well, talk about
minutes.
The goal.
But when the goal comes, it's cracking finish. It's a great free kick. Really clever as well, actually. Obviously, McGinn's position, you know, obviously in an offside one, so that's come straight off the training ground. They're
playing
he's
like
very
a marker,
high line,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's almost like the target. But then he steps back, and Moreno obviously sort of steams in at the back post. It's a brilliant finish because the ball's quite high, gets on top of it, and sort of side foots it into the roof of the net. It's a brilliant finish, and I'm really pleased for him because it's great to see him back. He had a couple of moments with little bursts.
He was loving it, wasn't he, with his little love heart to all four stands.
Yeah, and a belter of a knee slide. But he had moments, you know, where we thought, yeah, that's the difference between Dina and Moreno. When you saw him bomb forward, there was a couple of times where he was played in. I think Longley had one pass that was a really good one. A couple of other bits of interplay. And you kind of thought he had a good night's work there, considering it's his first game in a long time. And it's important that he got the minutes. I think I can't remember exactly when he got subbed off. Was it about sort of on the 75, 80 minute mark? So he's got a good workload in his tank there. That's a big positive. And then obviously having Ramsey back in for sort of 20 minutes, half an hour as well.
There were shades of one moment that I've seen Manchester City do a few times. Now, Manchester City, you know, known for their tiki-taka, and defences playing against them have that ingrained in their head. So you backline, the opposition's backline will always be like, well, it's going to take 3 minutes to get to me. So, you know, they're not on it.
Well,
Edison does the big punt down the middle, and they've profited a few times from that. And that's exactly what Olsen did. Beautiful ball to Bailey on a sixpence.
And Bailey's touch is fantastic, isn't he? He's plucked the ball out of the sky, especially when it's coming over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Perfect touch into his stride. And if I'm being probably a little harsh, he probably should, when he gets there, because you've got the goal to aim at, he should probably score. He's very unlucky, though. He's gone as close as you can to scoring it out, but that would have obviously killed the group and would have sort of put the icing on the cake.
It would have like officially put some brownie points in the Olsen bin as well.
I mean, he's long kicking. I remember hearing Neil Cutler talk about that. And he said he's a brilliant striker of the ball, and you can see that he kicks the ball really far.
Yeah,
got a heck of a punt on him. But yeah, that would have obviously kind of killed the game. And you know, a couple of other moments. Obviously, Diaby had a big chance where he probably should score. The keeper makes a good save and some good breaks. There was just a couple of moments where I think we made the wrong decisions, and I was just getting frustrated in the second half a little bit. It felt the longer the game went on, Villa were just happy to manage the game. And maybe that was because of the workload at Tottenham at the weekend, where they put in a big shift there for a huge win. And then obviously the games they've got to come.
Yeah, I think you can get a bit, you can get greedy though, can't you? Because ultimately you want to win that. And to be choosing how many goals you win it by, if it's like the last game and you've got to win by two goals to qualify,
Yeah, no, I understand.
The bottom
that.
Line, then, fair enough. Go for, you know, you go for it, and I'd have been pissed off if that was the attempt at trying to get those two goals. Mm. But with another game to go, and all, it's what you're creating with a 2-goal win is just the luxury of not needing to bother against Zrinjski.
And also, I suppose, even though we've got the win and it's won only by one goal, it's still another goal that Warsaw would have to score against, you know, Alkmaar in their game. So it's, you know, it's not a banker that Warsaw will beat Alkmaar, especially
it's a live game. If Alkmaar win, Alkmaar they're through.
Back in the mix now, aren't they?
Yeah, if they win, they're through. So that would be the ultimate punishment to Legia Warsaw in the context of what we've been speaking about. It's against all the odds suddenly to get knocked out of the tournament.
Yeah.
God, can imagine we have to play them again. Fucking hell.
Well, there'd be no away fans, wouldn't it?
Home and away, I think. I mean, what would need to happen is, I think there's a positive 3-goal difference advantage we have, if I'm not mistaken. So if we lost by 1 goal, they would need to win by 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a 3-goal swing, essentially. So if they win by 1 goal, we lose by 1 goal, we're still through.
Yeah.
If Alkmaar win, then we win the group anyway.
Yes.
So it's as good. So basically you're going to Zrinjski, and I think you can put out a half-baked team and get a draw there.
Probably.
But one thing I did feel good about was every time we made a sub, the team never decreased in ability.
No. Obviously, you know, you're bringing on sort of Digne, Ramsey, Zaniolo, your firepower on your bench now that you've got a full rotation there. Obviously,
now you've got those two boys back, Ramsey and Marino. It's got a hell of a different feel about our squad, matchday squad now, and that's great.
And you know, obviously, you know, didn't play Martinez, didn't play Watkins. I'm guessing that was very much precautionary, which
I think minor injuries.
Yeah, for my money, I think that's the right decision. I think with the workload they've got coming up, and the league is the priority. If you get the chance to rest, do it. The same with McGinn. You know, McGinn's had a lot of minutes recently, so the fact that they thought, well, we're gonna, you know, take him out of the firing line, I think was the right call.
Right. So it's all set up nicely for us to win this and qualify for the Champions League, is it?
Oh, well, hopefully. And hopefully a European trophy as well. That would be the perfect way to wrap things up. Ledger in the final then, yeah?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.